In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought that you sounded like a weird vodka ad or something. Like at the very end, they say Absolute 61 because I thought you said Absolute. Yes, it is Episode 61. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast, the only one in the world that comes with its own warranty, we like to call hat care.
Wow, do they have to pay extra for that?
No, it comes with the listening. If anything goes wrong, and I mean that's, if anything goes wrong with your hardware while you're listening to it, if anything goes wrong with the file, anything, we will give you all the money back.
Oh.
Yes.
Boy, that's a pretty good deal.
We will pay for a new, completely free thing.
Excellent.
So anyway, hi, I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is episode...
61.
61.
61.
61. We are now 60-something.
Yeah, seniors.
We are old, old podcasters. We'll never catch up to the Nerdist, though. They're up to, like, 200 and something now. But they're, like, cheating. They're doing, like, three a week.
Three a week?
Yeah. They got a lot of, like, guests.
Oh.
And so they're ending up with more episodes than they can. So they were doing 2 a week because they were doing, like, an interview episode and then what is called a hostful episode that's just them hanging around bullshitting, mm-hmm. like us. But now they're doing two of the other kind because they have enough things.
Hmm.
So we will never catch up. But we are doing well on our own. We have more episodes than most podcasts ever. Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, I remember when you were making such a big deal out of the fact that we had more than five.
Five? I thought five was an important sign that we were established and on our way. Clearly I was wrong.
Oh well.
So welcome everyone. For those of you just tuning in, that's weird on the podcast. But for those of you, this is your first episode. William and I found a hat. It's magic. It does not talk. It is of talking. And it has its own email address. And it checks it. So you should email the hat, and then the hat makes us draw those things you email out of it, questions and topics and things, and we talk about them till we're sick of it. Also, the hat has begun commenting on Facebook.
The hat has begun commenting.
Yes.
Jeez.
And somebody even implied that then the hat was talking, and of course, no, the hat was typing.
Yes.
But yes, not a lot being said. Huh. Not anything.
Well, what did
that
it say?
Interesting. It said a couple things. I think I don't remember for sure. Something about wishing it could eat.
That it could eat.
Yeah.
It wishes it could eat.
Yeah.
Why?
I think to enjoy food.
Hmm.
Food is nice.
Do you think? Do you think the hat used to be like?
And
a regular...
also commented on it on like about our podcast last time a little bit.
What did it say?
That we should make hat ice cubes.
Oh.
And that it should be easier than head ice cubes.
So, okay, so the hat checks its own email.
Yes.
And it puts what people write in on these little slips of paper that you and I draw out.
Yes.
But it also hears, so to speak, what we say.
Well, it's magic.
And it wishes it could eat. Do you think? Why would it? Do you think it's experienced food before? Like, is the hat a manifestation or of something, some person maybe that used to live and walk the face of the earth?
No, that sounds crazy.
Oh, you're right.
It's a hat. It's simply a magic hat.
Yeah, but why does it want to eat?
What is so complicated? Because eating is awesome.
How would it know?
Maybe I told it.
Why would it believe you?
That's a good point.
It's just, I find it odd that it would be curious. Let's say it never ate anything, but it seems, does that make it like an alien life form that's curious about us or something? I mean,
I try not to look into it too much.
It's just odd that it would ask, it would say something about
I'm worried that I will learn things I cannot unlearn.
Don't you have any curiosity about this thing?
No, the hat's very Lovecraftian to me. The less I know, the saner I am.
Well, you know, ever since we found it and we realized it had this these strange properties, and of course, you know, we're compelled to do the podcast and answer the questions and everything, and all of that aspect of it that we've explored for the last 61 episodes. And now there are these new behaviors. It's yes. Actually listening to the podcast in a way and responding to it like a listener would. And it has wishes of itself that are, you know, like...
Well, at this point, wish.
Wishes it could eat.
Well, and wish, I guess wishes ice cubes.
Okay, but...
In its shape.
I always just thought of it as this thing that it existed purely to check its own email and make us talk, and that's all it cared about. And it wasn't particularly interested in what we had to say, enough to respond to it. And it didn't have any kind of agenda other than answering its own email and making us talk. But it's got other things that it wants to do.
It's inscrutable, William.
No, it isn't, because I'm scrutinizing it right now.
Stop scrutinizing it. In scrut that. Now wait. Inscrutable and inscrutinizable wouldn't be the exact same word, would they?
I don't know.
One scrutinizes, one does not
scrut. To say inscrutable means that to scrutinize it is futile, is what it really means.
Well,
you can scrutinize it all you want, but it's not going to make any difference.
Then I
yes, that's right. That's right.
Hat inscrutable.
Yes, that's right. You're right. But still.
Some claim.
I'm curious.
That it is only a weak-ass premise for a podcast.
Well, people can think whatever they want to, but yes. We both know.
I know nothing. I work really hard to not, like I said, keeping my sanity. Don't want to know.
Well, anyway, I find it all very odd. But there you go.
Go home, William. Live your life with your family. Be glad for your life. Don't go delving into mysterious hats.
But you know, I'm the person in that plot who, when he hears that, just thinks, okay, well, that's... You know, just the fact that someone's telling me I shouldn't do this tells me that there's probably a reason I should be doing
this. You're the asshole who bought the Mogwai from the little Chinese man to give home to your kid for Christmas and then pretty much ruined the town.
No, not really. Not that kind of thing. But, like, information.
No, I mean, I heard that actually happened.
No, it didn't happen. Information, like knowing things that are true that other people don't want you to know. That
so you're that one me. Of those Nazis that got its face melted. Good job.
No. I would be a regular person who would get his face melted. Just because it'd be like, what's in here? I really want to see. I really want
to
know.
That's fine. I wasn't meaning to imply anything about your socio-political views. I meant to imply that your face is hideous.
Oh.
And that you look like it melted. Yes. So, I mean, yeah.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
You can just be a face-melted normal person. You could be a face-melted taxi driver
okay.
if you want.
That's better than
the point
Nazi.
Is you have a hideous face.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm glad you cleared that up because okay. I'd rather be told that I have a hideous face yes. than told that I'm a Nazi. Well, I think most people would.
Well, and as far as I know, you're not a Nazi.
No, I'm not.
But your face is hideous.
Okay, well, that's... So, if I had to choose between those two things...
Easy, I don't think you have a choice.
Easy
it's
choice.
There.
But I'm just saying it would be easy choice for
if
me.
If you really wanted to, you could be both, but...
I don't want to be both.
You're stuck with that face.
I want to... If I have to choose, hideous face is fine.
Lucky for you.
Yeah, very lucky, yes. Because otherwise I would be the other thing, and man, like, God only knows.
Man, I don't want to be a Nazi. Why am I a Nazi?
Yeah.
That sucks. Can I get surgery to, like, remove my... No, they don't have that.
Maybe they do, and maybe it's in your face, and that's why you have a hideous face when you're not a Nazi.
You have Nazi in your face?
Yeah, maybe I was a Nazi, and I had it removed, and now I can't remember.
Ah.
But it was removed from my face, because that's where the Nazi is. And so
Nazi, he's got...
Maybe I did have a choice.
This is a weird sort of phrenology thing. He's got the face of a Nazi.
Not anymore.
In a bag in the closet.
I had it removed. Yes. Now I have this hideous face, but I'm no longer a Nazi.
What's that? He's a nice guy. He's a little Nazi around the face. Just a little Nazi, but not totally. I mean, you know, it's partially melted, so it's... Oh, it's weird. Okay. How was your week?
It's good. I did see Avengers.
So did I.
Well, good, so... Now we can talk about it.
I don't remember it, though.
Oh. You were inebriated?
I saw it last night.
Oh, I saw it in sort of an uncharacteristic move. I saw it during opening weekend. I don't usually do that.
Oh.
I did. A matinee, which was fairly full. I mean...
We saw it last night. Wednesday night was still fairly full. Hmm. I mean, at least compared to when we usually go to the movies on Wednesday night.
I'd say it was a success. Now, here's the thing. I was thinking about this too.
No, let's say up front. We're not going to spoil nothing.
No, I'm just going to talk. I'm just going to talk about Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
He has had three very successful films now playing this particular character.
Yes, Tony Stark. He's going to have a fourth real soon.
Okay, but think about how many actors have attempted that and failed.
Yeah.
Now. I'm thinking, you know, when Harrison Ford played Han Solo in the original Star Wars movies, okay, he did it. Three movies that were blockbuster successes and were arguably very good films.
Well, and he kind of did it with Indiana Jones.
No, because the second film was horrible.
But it was still majorly successful.
Not the same. I'm talking about when...
Actual quality.
Yeah, like, you know, nobody even wants to remember Temple of Doom. But 25 years from now, people will still probably watch the Iron Man movies and love them all. Okay, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Just like they watch the Star Wars movies and so Harrison Ford did it with Han Solo, but he didn't accomplish it with Indiana Jones. So let's think of other actors who have done this, because I think you're going to have a hard time coming up with, and for action movies specifically, because I was talking to someone else about this and they were saying that, you know, maybe the Harry Potter movies manage it because there were so many of them, but I don't really think of those as action movies. The only other...
When we look at the Supermans.
Okay, Superman, that's a good one, but...
I don't think it does it.
No, it doesn't.
One's good, two's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Spider-Man, depending on who you talk to.
Okay.
Some people are less happy about three.
Mm-hmm.
But you might get that out of Spider-Man.
What about Wolverine's character in the X-Men?
Third X-Men sucked ass.
I agree, but I didn't know what you thought.
Absolutely sucked ass. Third X-Men sucked ass.
What about Bruce Willis in the Die Hard movies?
Well, it's tricky for me. I haven't seen Die Hard 2 or 4.
Oh, okay.
Didn't like 3. Saw 3 first.
But you didn't like 3.
Did not like 3. Okay, well, I don't think it worked. I don't think any of the Die Hard movies are good after the first.
Okay,
basically.
It doesn't really matter then.
But I haven't seen 2 of the 3, so.
Well, yeah, but if the third one didn't do it for you, then even the first two are great, he didn't do it.
Well, I'm trying to think of other movies that are like series like that. Star Trek sure as hell didn't do it.
I also thought of Spider-Man movies. A lot of people still... I mean, I think you would agree that the Spider-Man movies, even all three of them, weren't really on par with, say, the Iron Man. Either one of the Iron Man
movies. At the time, I think they were very groundbreaking. Yeah. I think now they say... Well, and theoretically, we may end up having it with Batman.
Yeah, but that third one hasn't come out.
Yeah. But let's be honest. What are the odds?
Well, I know that's true, but this is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
And not only has he had three done three films with this character where I'm willing to bet that 20 years from now, people will still watch them and think they're great in the same way people watch the Star Wars movies, original ones, and think they're great. But you know, he kind of unlike the Batman movies, because here's where the Batman movies fall a little bit short, is that I think most people would say in the second Batman movie, it was Heath Ledger's character that really made it great.
Yeah,
say
yeah.
In contrast to the in the case of these Iron Man movies and Avengers 2, really, his character is so strong and is such a big part of the success of that film. I mean,
I think he is one of the strongest elements.
This is a tremendous accomplishment Robert Downey Jr. has made with this character.
But I think this is a thing that we may end up seeing more of, because the reason it works is Robert Downey Jr. is a phenomenal actor. He's a phenomenal character actor and a phenomenal leading man, much like Harrison Ford was. And normally, you don't stick those people in these kind of movies.
That's true.
But they're starting to now.
Yeah, yeah.
Christian Bale is another example
of
this.
He's a
You're taking guys
actor.
Who are in their own right, like, as long as you don't use Channing Tatum, you have a shot of pulling this off. As long as you don't use, you know, I don't know who else were stupid ass leads. As long as you don't use Ben motherfucking Affleck.
Someone else mentioned possible action heroes like Sylvester Stallone in the Rambo movie. And I said, no.
But the Bourne trilogy
probably counts. Yeah.
But again, Matt Damon. Impressive actor.
No, that's true. Right. That's right.
And I think that is a big secret too, is you need a really good person, or it may be things that come along with having a really good person. One thing I really liked Avengers had going for me, Joss Whedon's stank is all over the thing. I wasn't sure how much he was going to sort of be forced into thing, but it totally feels like a Joss Whedon thing to me.
Well, I thought it was actually even better than what I would expect from him.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of his. And
I'm a pretty big fan.
I realize that. I was a little afraid that it would be too much him.
Too quirky.
But
he understood what he was doing.
I felt like...
And he had just the right amount, because there were some great, very Whedon-esque moments.
No, that's true. There were. But,
throughout. But not too much. You could have overdone it. You could have... made it not what it was supposed to be, which was a giant four-color superhero action movie.
Which made me... I really didn't want him to do Wonder Woman, and I was glad that he wasn't doing that project anymore, but I kind of wonder if he might actually be able to do it. But who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, another series of films that might work would be some James Bond films, but I don't know the history of all the Bonds or which movies were successful and which weren't. And
yeah, that's tricky.
I mean, someone might say that... I don't even know if Sean Connery made... more than a couple Bond movies.
Oh yeah, I think he did.
Okay,
I think he probably may have been the longest running Bond.
I don't know.
Roger Moore did quite a few.
Yeah, he did a lot, but a lot of them stunk.
I feel like Connery did more. Yeah, but I don't really know. I'm not a big James Bond fan at all, really.
Well, those might be other candidates, but I'm just saying that there's not. When you really think about it, it's a pretty rare thing for an actor to have, in action films, to have three huge successes in a row. The kind of successes that are going to last, not like say, like you said, Temple of Doom might have been a commercial success, but nobody wants to watch it.
I don't know. People talk about how much they love that. Oh, I still managed to avoid seeing it.
Well, we bought a box set or something. To show the kids, because they hadn't seen any of them, and we showed it to them just as historical reference, and even they hated it. So it was—I just thought it was terrible.
I was about to say, because I just happened to get a copy of the box set, Sigourney Weaver, an Alien, but the third Alien sucked.
Yeah.
Some people say the fourth is not bad, but the third one sucked, unquestionably. Anyway, let's talk more about Avengers.
Okay. I recommend it.
I recommend it as long as you feel that kind of movie could be something you like. I mean, it is absolutely four color, not super deep, superhero action movie. For that, it's beautiful. I think I said before, I got my hopes up, and I was kind of pissed at myself that I got my hopes. Not disappointed. Not disappointed at all. Very good.
Yeah, it's a superhero movie, so...
Yeah, if you don't think it's an action superhero movie.
Well, more to the point, it's a comic book movie, and if you don't like that kind of thing, well, who knows? But I do. I mean, that's one of the reasons... I've been very excited about all the technological advances in filmmaking because one of the things I want to see is comic book characters in movies, and I've been very excited about that.
And they did it really good here. I mean, there's special effects all over the place, but you don't feel like they're just squirting CGI out.
No.
It's not like Green Lantern where it's just like, here, some more special effects.
Yeah, I thought the script was really good, and the characters...
Performances were unbelievable across the board.
And it stood on its own, which it didn't have to do. I mean, you wanted to, but what I'm saying is that a lot of these characters had films beforehand.
Well,
if they wanted to, they could have just threw you right into the action without any character development, but they didn't do that.
Talk to me about this, because I saw all of these except Incredible Hulk, and you haven't seen all of these.
All of what?
The movies leading up to this.
Well, I think I've seen them all.
You have?
I think so.
I thought you hadn't seen Captain America or Thor.
I did see Captain America. Finally, I think I even said so on the show.
Okay.
And then I eventually saw it.
Because, see, I wonder... I mean, I'm sure it's fine standalone, but I drew lots of stuff such that it did... I want to get the reaction of somebody who hasn't seen the other one.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I think I'm the same. I haven't seen Incredible Hulk, but I figure that's the safest since it wasn't even the same fucking character. Speaking of which, still love Mark Ruffalo, and he, in some ways, I almost enjoyed his character more. I really just loved what he did. It was less in the forefront, and it was more nuanced, but I really loved that character. I really loved what they did with Banner.
Well, you know, the thing I've always said about Joss Whedon is I've noticed that in all the stuff that he's ever done, the only thing that he's done that I really thought was very good and cool and that I really enjoyed it a lot is his comic book work. And I've often thought that one of the weaknesses that he has is in not being able to very well translate writing comic book scripts and writing in a comic book way to a TV or film. But, of course, this is a comic book movie.
Yeah.
So I think I think that really worked. I thought the script was very good, and I thought the character development was very good, and I thought it stood alone just fine.
And I didn't think you had to see the writing does... It was very comic booky writing, modern comic booky writing, which means it not stilted or anything, but it was very quick and scenes, you know, we didn't spend a lot of time in a lot of monologuing and things like that.
No, that's true.
Even the very talk-heavy scenes, which were great, moved very quickly.
Yes, they did.
That being said, the one complaint I really have had at this point about it, some of the dialogue was too fast and too quiet. There are lines I outright missed.
Oh, really?
And to be fair, there are some lines I outright missed because we were all laughing too hard at whatever happened
before. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there are some hilarious damn things, especially near the end.
Yeah, right.
But there are a few things, and I think part of it was the way Downey Jr. did Stark. He did a lot of fast talking in places, and I missed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But no, just it was very impressive. And I was impressed before with Thor. Not a big fan of the Thor movie. Very impressed with the guy who played Loki. Continue to be impressed with the guy.
No, yeah, that's true. My opinion of Thor, that movie was... I liked everything that didn't happen on Earth.
Exactly. The middle of that movie was dead boring. And the middle of that movie was the biggest part of the movie.
And it was very disappointing.
Yes, absolutely.
But... out of all the films that were done before this one, I pretty much liked them all. I thought Captain America was good. I thought I liked the Incredible Hulk film.
I still haven't seen it. I intend to.
I liked it. I don't have any issues with it.
I'm not a big Hulk guy, and after many years, we finally saw the Ang Lee one, and so...
No, I didn't like that one.
It's off because it's terrible.
Nobody
likes that one.
No, but I liked it.
But I also... That combined with the fact that I'm not big into Hulk... has made me not opposed to seeing it, but just had no... There's a lot of inertia. I just haven't bothered to see it. But I should, because despite the fact that apparently Ed Norton was not in the Avengers film because he's an absolute asshole to work with...
That's what I heard, too.
I still think he's a great actor, so I'm very curious to see him in this.
No, I thought, it was good.
Yeah, and I was happy with this because, I mean, I like Ed Norton as an actor. I like Mark Ruffalo more. That's been sort of a recent thing, but I've discovered I really think I like him a lot. And everybody was just very pleased. The only person maybe less so is Jeremy Renner, who played Hawkeye. And I don't really give a damn about Jeremy Renner, and I don't really give a damn about Hawkeye. So it was fine. But yeah, everybody else did really commendable. Even freaking Goopy with Gwyneth Paltrow, Pepper Potts. Not a big part. I really like how they did it. It was nice. She added, like, she was only in, like, two scenes, but both really did not seem superfluous to me. They seemed very, I liked them.
Yeah. I suppose if you'd never seen any of the other films, Pepper's presence in the film might seem a little weird, you know, like.
Possibly.
I can imagine that, like, so she's in two scenes, and who is she, and how does she, why is she acting so familiar with Tony?
Bits of the plot that genuinely pulled from other movies, like a lot of the intro sort of setup stuff, I had to sort of think back to what happened.
There were some things I just believe didn't
even remember. If I hadn't even seen that, I was like, how'd that be? I'm curious. If any of our listeners did not see the other movies and then goes and see Avengers, talk to us about that, and if you're missing anything from that.
But what another thing I thought was interesting was, as I was thinking about it as we were going to the film, I thought how interesting it was that so many of the films before it were actually worth seeing.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the only film that I had serious issues with was Thor, but I thought it was, I was glad
it's
I saw
a
it.
Horrible.
No,
film.
No. It's too bad that they messed up part
it
of it.
A great film.
But there were some really good parts in it.
Yeah.
And what they did with the character I thought was really good. And then they continued that in the Avengers. And like you said, I thought Thor's character in Avengers was very interesting and fun to watch. So, and Loki's character, like you said, excellent.
He's great for this.
Just wonderful.
Well, and this is not going to stop. This is the end of Phase 1. And now they're doing Iron Man 3, and they're going to do, supposedly, the plan. I mean, it'll change based on how much money things make. Is they're going to do quite a few sequels of individuals again, eventually leading up to Avengers 2.
So, I get the impression that Robert Downey Jr. actually is enjoying all of this. Is there any indication that he's going to get bored of this and stop, and then, you know, because he's really important, I think, to all this working.
He did a sequel to Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get bored. But I don't know. I'll have to see.
Because
there is only so long you can do it, and he takes his art pretty seriously, so he may eventually be like, what else is left to do? But also, I think at this point, they are pulling up the big dump truck of money to his house to do it, so, you know. That's the thing. So much of the money in this movie must have gone just to pay the actors, because they got freaking
big names. Do you think the reboot of Spider-Man is eventually, because he sometimes was in the Avengers, Spider-Man was, sometimes.
Was he?
Yeah.
Is it even the same company?
I don't know. I mean,
I'm not sure.
I mean, they're rebooting it, and it's a little more like the original comic book. He's got the actual mechanical web slingers and stuff.
We've been almost a half hour again, so I want to wrap this up. But there are a couple things people need to know. These are not spoilers. These are just important pieces of information for going to see the Avengers. Don't worry. The traditional Stan Lee cameo is there. I was worried. It took a while. Yeah, I was like, what happened?
It did take a while, yeah.
Also, again, if you've seen any of the other movies, this should be obvious, but just in case it's not, wait till after all the credits.
All the credits, yeah.
And you'll be fooled, because there's a thing that happens in the middle of the credits.
Yeah.
But still stay till the end. And I'll tell you this right now. Like the movie, like pretty much everything about the movie, the bit after the credits, absolutely my favorite.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that I'll tell
you, awesome.
It almost makes me want to buy, like, when the Blu-ray comes out, because you know that was like a 10-minute scene that they cut down, and I want to see the full thing. And actually, even as we were walking out, I was like, I could watch that 1-minute scene like a dozen times, both because it's entertaining and because I wanted to pick out specific. Yeah. Even as I was watching it, I'm
lots
like,
of elements you want to watch.
It's pay attention to. It's multi-layered.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. It. But before we move on, though, I have
and
to
it's
say
it's also a very Joss Whedon moment.
I suppose that's true. But one more thing I want to say before we move on is how envious I am of Marvel, because I am a DC guy.
Yeah.
And it makes me so upset that Marvel, I mean, Marvel's always been more on the spot with these than anyone else, but now they've got this almost this juggernaut with not just the Avengers, but everything connected with the Avengers. And DC's got nothing close. I mean, the Batman trilogy will probably be a great thing, but that's all they've got right now.
And Nolan is respectful and is stopping that. I mean, the trailers are all about how it ends. And, I mean, we can get into the whole debate. I mean, because I'm a DC guy somewhat, too, at this point. Just because Marvel pisses me off, I don't know. But there is the argument that Marvel has more believable, functional storytelling. That Marvel characters are sometimes awful because of it, but they make more sense.
Well, that,
which could translate into better.
I suppose some people think that.
But I hate a lot of Marvel superheroes, too. So what I would love is if they would start making movies in their Vertigo line.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to do that, because I think these movies function based on the popularity, and the Vertigo line, while popular amongst certain breeds of comic people, is not as iconic as, you know, Batman, Superman, the Avengers, shit like that.
Well, you know, Marvel's just willing to do, like, rebooting characters and, you know, now that this whole Avenger thing is going on and all this stuff connected to it, I think they'll probably hook Spider-Man up to it eventually. They're going to reboot Daredevil. I mean,
But it's throwing stuff to the wall and see what's next, because they had Daredevil. They had, if you'll recall, two incredibly shitty Fantastic Four movies.
Ghost Rider didn't really work out.
Yeah, Ghost Rider.
Didn't even see the second really one yet. I probably will see it, but it didn't. It wasn't in the theater.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
I like the first one. We've talked about
that. I hate
you.
I'll kill you.
It was pretty funny. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be.
So bad. Yeah, they've had to do a lot of throwing shit and see what sticks.
But I think that's great. I mean, but DC, tied as they are to one studio, that causes problems. I've always said that's their problem.
Well, Marvel just fucking made their own. And also, Marvel sold themselves to Disney.
Yeah, but
if it's a problem that can be solved by throwing money at it, they will. And they're just lucky that this paid off because maybe now they can soak up some of the John Carter debt.
Right. Oh, my God. Let's not even get into that again.
So you got to trade. Oh, and gosh. I told Trish later, I was like, I'm pretty sure they're going to do a sequel. And she said, because Avengers has made all the money. And so in order to jumpstart the economy again, like, the world economy will stop unless they take some of the money they made and spend it making another one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But no, they have officially announced they're going to do another one. All right, let's pull out the hat here, because that's a thing we do here.
That's what we do.
Eventually.
How are things going with the submissions of the hat? Do you happen to know?
We're in a bit of a dry spell right now. People should maybe submit some more. Write to the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Just send a short little question or topic there. We might read it. Well, we probably will eventually, because we draw them randomly out of the hat. So we can't say when, but, you know, it's got to come up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, go ahead. Write some stuff. We could use some stuff. We can always use some stuff. Who's it from?
Azure Talon.
God damn it.
I think he's your nemesis.
Oh, yeah. He's the podcast nemesis.
Okay.
He sort of gleefully admits that himself.
Well, he...
And he had his bachelor weekend, like a bachelor party, but it was the whole weekend. He went to Fear the Con in Missouri. And so I'm assuming that means the wedding is very close. So keep us informed, Azure Talon, unless you've stopped listening because Kim won't let you listen because we're a bad influence.
Because we probably are.
We kind of are.
Yo, Hattie.
Yeah, that's not...
That's disrespectful.
Right at all.
Well, then he asks a really kind of...
Oh, am I going to get pissed off?
Inappropriate question. Not only does he address the hat in such a casual, almost disdainful manner, but then he asks this question. Did you like having me inside you? What does that even mean? I mean, when was he ever inside the hat?
He means the question.
The question?
You know, yeah.
But I think he's being lewd, don't you?
I definitely do.
Do you think the hat, I mean, being magical and all, don't you think it's going to, like, do things?
Oh, yes.
To retaliate against his disrespect?
I feel there will be vengeance. by the hat.
I mean, you know, you and I have talked about this and even joked about it, and the hat has never done anything to us because it's already doing things to us. Right. But but to other people...
Yeah, totally.
It's a different thing.
It brings up a point, though. I want to bring it. And I didn't notice, I didn't think of this for reals until it showed up in one of the Avengers trailers, and of course it showed up in the movie. But Robert Downey Jr.'s line brought this to my attention. Avengers is a shitty-ass superhero team name.
It is?
Yes, you're avenging. That implies you're not protecting. We're going to let you do some bad shit, and then later we're going to get even with
you.
Yeah,
right.
That's a terrible name. Mm. Like, we're not about protecting people. We're about avenging all those people that you totally will kill first. Like... why would you name it? That's terrible. All right.
That's like what the A and A team means or something. Because that is, you know, someone hires you because you did
something
wrong.
Exactly. Because they're going to develop your goat farm and turn it into oil wells. So, yeah, I don't even remember how the A team worked. All I know is it's always some old guy and his daughter that own some sort of business.
The point is someone did something to them and now they're hiring them. They're not protecting anybody. They're,
you need help. And they're
fixing
always getting,
after the fact.
Getting vengeance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, well, you know, the hat doesn't talk, of course. But there's no way we could answer for the hat this question.
The hat did not enjoy that because no one enjoys you. No one. Kim is marrying you for your money. I know you probably don't have a lot, but Kim is also not that bright.
Hey, now.
Hey.
You don't even know this
It's okay here. For me to mock Kim, his fiance, because she doesn't exist. His fiance's name is Amanda or something. So,
well,
that's what's going on here.
I would warn Azure Talon and anyone else who thinks they could disrespect that, because like I said, we have joked about it and made up little stories about it. Because the thing is, the hat knows it has us. I mean, it doesn't care what we say. But you, the listener, you know, if you disrespect it, I can't vouch for what the hat will do or
it
won't
sounds
do.
Like a terrible incentive to listen to our podcast. Listen to our podcast and be careful or the hat will kill you. Like, it's...
Oh, it wouldn't kill him.
It might.
No.
It's killed before. We used to have a lot more listeners.
I didn't know that. I thought the hat was too cruel to kill.
No.
I thought it would only torture.
And you don't know what
happened. Even.
You don't know what happened to the first three Williams.
There. Wait, we don't know. There were other Williams.
Yes. We don't mention that in the interview process.
Okay, strangely, even though this is a huge revelation to me, I really only have one question. Did the other Williams get to go to the business meetings?
One of them did, and then that's how we switched Williams.
The policy changed after that. Huh?
Yes.
We'll have to talk. I don't want to talk about it on the air.
Changed after that.
I don't want to talk about it on the air. All
right.
But you'll have to explain this whole other Williams thing to me.
Tom, it's best not to know.
So, yeah, I mean, who knows what the hat will do to Azure Talon now that he's
3 inches taller before I found the hat. All right, well, thank you for the question, Azure Talon, and we'll send a ham to your widow. Now, someone who knows how to be properly respectful.
Of the hat.
Of everyone, really.
Okay.
Ms. Kia. Kia B.
The B, okay.
Ms. B, if you're nasty.
Not the other Kia.
Or no,
Kias as it might
Kia.
Be. We don't know how many Kias there really are, but we know there's one Kia B and
probably
a bunch
26.
Of Kia. Well, they don't say.
Unless they start getting into Greek letters. Kia Tau says. No. All right. As she always does her letters, Dear the Magical Talking Hat.
How nice.
Yes. Who does drama better, America or the UK?
The UK does everything better, I think. Comedy, drama, whatever. They do it all better, I think.
See, I am not so sure about this. I read some things when, as a rule, if I'm stuck on a desert island and I only get one, I take the UK. But the UK is more direct. The nature of UK programming tends to be in smaller bits. So you will get in-depth character and dynamic story very quickly and very directly and discreetly in a British program. They get to the point and they really think it through before they put it on the damn screen.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. programs will just kind of come up with some vague shit and start filming. But they have much more potential to create these great arcs and huge growth in character dynamic and things like that over long periods of time if the show gets a chance to survive.
I suppose that's true, but the thing is, on the way there, they make a lot of crap.
Yep. Most of the shows I end up really liking, if I go back and rewatch them, I find out that they're entire seasons, and I'm like, wow.
I can't help it. I just prefer someone to know what they're doing before they start. And yes,
I don't know, though. Did you see Demons?
No.
6-episode British show?
No.
They clearly did not know what they were doing.
Well, I'm not saying they always do in Britain. What I'm saying is that I get what you're saying about the potential to have something where a lot of interesting things develop plot-wise and character-wise. I get that, and I've seen that happen in American shows. But in a broader overall sense, I just don't think the United States can touch the
episode for episode, I would agree with you. But you can get into things. You can also get, if there are longer-running shows, take Being Human in the UK right now. It's on its 4th series. And its 4th series, total batshit. They've killed off... Primeval had this problem too. They killed off most of their characters and replaced them with very similar characters, hoping we wouldn't notice. And they just... Because they make them self-contained series. So here's the plot. So the next series, they have to come up with a whole new story. And eventually they start running out of things.
Well,
that can get really wonky.
Being Human is a perfect example, though, of a British series where I don't think they thought it out very well before they started. They didn't, you know, the whole premise was, okay, you have these, you know, supernatural characters who are going to help each other try to live normal lives, but that's not really what happened. Well, for one thing, the werewolf character really only has a problem one night a month, so that wasn't very interesting.
But they made him a total sissy boy drama queen, so he has problems all the time.
Yeah, but that didn't have anything to do with him being a werewolf. That just had to do with him being a strange person.
Yes.
And as far as the vampire character, you know, there they just explored all kinds of different vampire mythos stuff that also didn't seem to pertain to him trying to be human or fit in or anything else, only in a very superficial way. And the ghost thing, I mean, it didn't seem to live up to what it was promising. Now, to me, even though the turnover in characters that they've done, that whole turnover process was rather contrived, and now we're right back to the same premise with the same types of characters and everything. I like the characters better.
Yeah, see, I stopped watching 15 minutes into episode 2.
No, I think that the vampire character they have now, to me, actually reflects in a fascinating and somewhat interesting way how a vampire would try to be human.
Ah, okay.
The werewolf character, I think they've realized, well, there's nothing really we can do. So now the angle with the werewolf character is that the problem with the werewolf character in Being Human isn't that one night a month he has this problem, because that's not much of a problem. The problem is, being a werewolf, he finds himself at odds with vampires sometimes, and that's the thing that he has to struggle with, trying to be normal and not just be someone just carrying a stake wherever he goes and wanting to stab everybody he sees. And I don't know what they're going to do with the ghost angle, because they've never done anything with it. And finally, that actor left, and so they've got a new ghost, so I don't know what they're
going to
do.
Wait, Annie actually left?
Yes.
Spoiler alert, people.
Sorry about that, I thought.
She did, really?
Yeah.
I thought pretty much they were keeping the show going because she agreed to stick around, and that was it. No. So the new ghost is still...
Is it, well, the new ghost is so new, you don't know what they're going to do with that.
But is it the one that was attached... In the first episode of this series, no, we had a whole separate triad.
No. If you haven't...
She's
gone new. If you only watched the first couple, then you don't know who this is.
I watched the first 1.1, and then
but,
I stopped.
But it seemed to me that their whole idea behind the show, they never got it. I mean, I thought it limped for three seasons. And I kept watching because I was watching with this group of people, or I might have stopped watching a long time ago. Now it seems like they finally have a cast and a direction that might work. But as you just pointed out, here they are in four seasons later, and their fourth season was I think maybe the next season will work, but it really doesn't have any right to. I mean,
and it may not go on that long because that's true. Not really how it works so much.
That's
in
true.
British television.
But I think that what they've done with these characters is what they probably should have done to begin with. And if they give them a chance to reinvent the show, the next few seasons might actually be better than the first ones were, which is kind of unusual for any show's run. But it's hard to tell. But I think that the character setup they have now is better than what they started with, because I don't think they knew what to do with it, and they groped around and they tried this and they tried that and it didn't work.
Are you watching the U.S. one?
No.
The producer is still watching the U.S. one. I gave up fairly early on. It sounds like it's gone in some very interesting ways. And of course, well, and this is a thing, and this is another Britishism versus Americaism. The stories have gone in a completely different direction, but the story arcs are also broader because they're doing, 13 or 22 episode series versus 6 or 8. So they've got these bigger plot lines, and they've already adapted all sorts of other weird things involved and stuff, and really have veered off from the story that's in the British one, because I've seen it a couple times when I'm in the room when she's there.
Well, the thing is, now that they have, now that the United States has made shows based on British shows a few times, they've...
You mean like with Three's Company?
No.
Like that was a British show.
Like with The Office and stuff, I'm thinking... they've learned that, okay, these are the things we can do. These are the things that there's no point in us trying to do. This is how what we're doing is different.
Yeah.
And I think the approach to being human in the American show was to say, look, basically we're going to borrow the premise, and that's just about it.
Well, they started by following a fair bit of first series plot, which is sort of why I stopped. Because I'm like, I've seen this. I didn't particularly enjoy it then.
No.
But they've grown into some stuff. Yeah, and I still don't care, but... Hmm. Yeah.
I might try to watch it, I don't know.
And it's hard to say, because generally speaking, we only get the British shows over here that don't suck. But we can see all the American shows that suck.
Well, I've seen a few British shows, like, on Netflix and stuff, that I thought, oh, this might be interesting, and it wasn't very good.
Speaking of which, I won't get to find out until I come back from my trip, but Once Upon a Time, season finale...
Yeah.
I have no idea how they're going to have to pull some shit that's probably going to annoy the crap out of me at the last second to have anything that could be a second season.
Well, they're really
just screaming to wrap up their story, but it's a popular show on ABC. It's going to have a second season. I just don't know what the story is.
I wonder why it's
be.
So popular. I mean, I don't even know why I still watch it.
Why I watch it.
It's not very good.
I love it. Because it's... No. It's not very good. It's very not good. It is awesome. And that's the thing. It was getting... I was a little bit sad. Recently, it's been sucking less so that it wasn't amusing anymore. It was just kind of not very good, like you say. But then the last couple, we have ramped it up again. We have had some great... face-to-face yelling dialogue and stuff that I'm like, this is awesome. Not a single thing coming out of your mouths makes any sense.
Okay, but what do you think makes it so popular for other people to watch?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't. I love it because this could be the thing. It is very campy. It is very soap operatic. And people love They're soap operas.
I think I pretty much watch it for the Evil Queen.
I love her when she's really awful as like a part, as not like evil, but just terrible as an actress and as a character. And that's quite a bit.
I don't know what my deal is with
this. And of course, like Robert Carlyle. Oh, when he prances around. Oh, I love that. I love that. Just, oh, so many. And the fairy backs are really getting fucked up lately.
Yeah, well.
We're just mushing everything together. And, oh. I mean, I practically fainted from joy when he says, I'm Miss Stealthy. Because I was like, I do too! You're doing a covert operation here! You need Stealthy the Lost Eighth Dwarf so badly!
Stealthy.
Stealthy!
You know, speaking of...
Watching the fairies attack.
Oh, that was just so awful.
Awesome.
Meanwhile, and they sound like a swarm of bees.
I know, they were buzzing! They were buzzing! It was... Oh, they never buzz. They, like, tinkle the whole series, and now they're buzzing. Speaking of which, though, apparently Grimm is getting good. Apparently Grimm is getting good. I'm no longer watching, but the producer's still watching.
Yeah.
She says it's getting good, because they're finally doing the thing that we've been needing them to do from the beginning, which is dealing with the overarching story.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently it's getting pretty good.
Introducing creatures.
Instead of being a weak-ass police procedural in which the murderer each week happens to be aware something.
Yeah.
Which is what it was for the first, like, 7 episodes.
Yep.
This time it's a were-rat. This time it's a were-bear. This time it's a were-penguin. Like, you know, they're finally actually dealing with the plot, and apparently that's getting good, but...
Okay.
No, still love Once Upon a Time, but I don't... And, I will say, the episode before the finale, the most recent one, last minute, I really didn't expect that. It did it left on me, and I was pleased with them for that, because that's very rare to happen. Well, I should phrase it. I didn't expect it, and it was an interesting plot point. There's plenty of stuff I don't expect on Once Upon a Time, but it's because there's absolutely no reason in the world why you would do it.
Yeah,
and that episode had a lot of that shit.
Yeah,
including all of that crap with Jefferson, and why should I help? Because then you won't have to go back to your little hovel. You'll have this mansion. I'm like, really? So you betray all your shit for a nice house in a world you hate anyway. Rather than to go home to your meager but seemingly comfortable living in the world you love. You're a dumbass. So much of that show is like, clearly, we need the plot to go here. How we do it doesn't really matter. So let's just thumbtack it in there. Oh, it's amazing to me. I love that show. Castle season finale already happened. I'll hopefully watch it tomorrow night.
Okay, you haven't seen it yet.
Don't anybody spoil it for me on the blog. I'm expecting I'm going to be really pissed off. But either I'm going to feel a bit better, or I'm going to be really pissed off. Like, because they are promising me a lot.
I
those fuckers.
I watched it and couldn't decide, so I won't say. Maybe I just like the woman who plays the Evil Queen. It's just whenever she's on the screen, I'm happy. I just like to see her doing whatever she's doing. Maybe I just think she's cute or something. I don't know.
Oh, she's a very attractive woman, but...
I don't know.
By the way, people, Gersberms.
What?
Gersberms. My favorite Berks.
Okay.
Gersberms. My favorite Berks.
Right, maybe we should draw something else for that.
All right, then. Michelle knows what I'm talking about.
Well, that's good.
Gersberms!
Wait, I do more than one.
Wow. I didn't even know that was possible.
Dave Ovid,
who leaves soon on a bigger and further away trip than I.
If you had to choose only one to describe yourself, I presume he's asking, which would you pick, geek or nerd?
Ah, the age-old question, yeah. as it were.
Well, I don't know. I mean, everyone's got a different definition for what these terms mean, and so...
And having listened to Nerdist for so long, I've had to refine mine again.
I suppose they have a very particular definition. And do you know what that definition is?
Because that's the thing, is Nerdist uses the term nerd in the way a lot of people nowadays use the term geek. And a lot of, I feel like there's been a generation of which I was a part of for whom nerd was the derogatory term and geek has been the appropriated positive term. And I was sort of trained for this in college. In college, I was taught that a geek was a social outcast and a nerd was an antisocial outcast. And so I identified as geek. Growing up, the word geek wasn't really there. I think I associated more with somebody who bites the head off chickens at a circus. And I was always equated as being a nerd. I don't know that I actively self-identified as a nerd. If somebody asked me if I was a nerd, I might have to admit yes. But largely, yeah, when I hit college and it became more of a thing, I identified as geek. Nowadays, I tend to use nerd more. But really, I'm very open-minded when it comes to semantic arguments, so I don't worry about it a whole lot.
Well, it seems to me that when I am noticing the usage of these terms, first of all, nerd seems to have dropped out of common usage altogether. I hardly ever hear that term. I mean, even when you talk about the Nerdist podcast, I often, every time you mention it, I think to myself, wow, I never hear that term anymore, except when you're talking about the Nerdist. It seems like a strange thing to call a podcast when, you know, podcasts have not been around long enough for that term to mean what it meant when I was growing up and you had movies like Revenge of the Nerds and stuff like that. And the term geek seems to have completely taken it over. Not just that, but that nerd used to be an all-encompassing term to refer to anybody outside of the circle of people who were considered cool. I mean, it applied just to about anybody. I mean, usually you pictured someone who was really smart or whatever. But you know, when I was growing up, people who were obsessed with computers, well, there weren't very many of those people because there weren't a lot of home computers yet.
So, yeah, people who were obsessed with abacuses.
Well, mostly people who were obsessed with mathematics, say.
People who were obsessed with counting the rocks that you were all sitting around.
Or comic books. Or science fiction. Okay.
Or cuneiform tablets.
Whatever.
Your old melty face.
But now, not only has geek moved in, and I'm not sure how that happened, because as you just pointed out, geek, you know, is a word that existed, you know, at the turn of the century to describe a particular type of carnival or circus performer. Somehow it worked its way into popular usage. It seems to have pushed nerd out, but also geek is sometimes very specialized. You're not often just called a geek. You're often called a computer geek or a comic book geek or some kind of geek. And usually it means that you have an obsession about the qualifier, whatever that thing is. There's even, nowadays, you could even be called a sports geek. Yes. I mean, that's kind of a newer thing, but that even happens.
No, I agree. And that is a common usage for it. Yeah, is geek about specific things. I still think nerd shows up. I think it is something of an artifact at this point. I think people, when they use it, will often be referring to themselves or someone or a type of person in the past. And I think it sort of translates to a certain type of geek. Because, again, geek at this point means a certain sort of obsessive interest in something.
Yeah, and it can be just about anything.
Whereas nerd implies certain obsessive interests, but they are within a certain area. But to be fair, I have also heard qualifier nerd used.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I really don't think it's a useful distinction at this point.
Well, I'm just pointing out that, I mean, I haven't done a statistical study or anything, but it just seems like
really. Geek I would have expected nerd. That from you.
Shut up,
melty face.
That geek is used more than so much more than nerd, and it's almost always qualified somehow or implied in the context.
Yes,
that it doesn't just. But that said, you know, sometimes I hear the guys from Big Bang Theory described just as often as nerds as of geeks, because using it as a generic term and not as a qualified
term.
Well,
and unfortunately, the Big Bang Theory guys are a faux version of something.
Okay.
They're not really. They're fake geeky. They're TV show geeky.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, it's quite a few. A lot of people who aren't that geeky but think they are, like Big Bang Theory. A lot of the hardcore geeks and nerds that I know kind of feel vaguely insulted by Big Bang Theory.
Well, the episodes I've seen, I don't. I feel like I know quite a few geeks and or nerds, and of course I'm sure I qualify for that group myself, and I don't recognize these people as belonging to that group.
I recognize aspects.
I can see they're trying to look yes. like people that belong to that group, but it's not.
Yeah. I don't watch it regularly. I'm sort of right in the middle camp. Like, I find it a kind of amusing show, and it has cool references that other shows don't.
Yeah, that's true.
That are good for me.
That's true.
But yeah, I don't relate to it. I don't feel that it is telling my story in a way that other sitcoms have not.
Yeah.
So I kind of sit in the middle, and I like all the people on it, but I'm also aware that with the possible exception of like Mayim Bialik, most of the people on that show, not that nerdy or geeky.
Yeah.
In real life.
Well, to answer your question, Dave, I don't really have a preference about these labels. I don't really label myself either one of these things. However, I do acknowledge that I have interests that are, by most people's standards and perceptions, are unusual and probably, what do I want to say?
Stupid.
Well, maybe stupid, but
melty-faced?
No.
Nazi?
Odd, you know, like not normal.
That was going to be my next guess.
Yeah, abnormal interests that put me in a category that they would label as geek or nerd. It's weird because I a lot of people try to label me as some kind of geek, but nothing really fits because I don't. For example, I can talk about comic book characters and comic books in a fairly intelligent way, but I don't read comic books the way your typical comic book geek. Let me put it this way. There are people who would call me, say, a comic book geek, but not people who are comic book geeks.
Well, this is the problem. The terms we're talking about are generalizations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
William, as we've established, does not hold to any generalization anywhere.
I think the closest thing you could say I am is a myth or a philosophy geek. However, most people who fit that category are also very scholarly about these things, which I'm not. So
you're kind of a slacker philosophy geek.
Yeah, really.
And you're a proto.
I mean, I read.
You're
but
a proto filmmaking geek.
I suppose.
But that's the thing. You're a filmmaking geek. You're not a film geek. Which the two usually go together.
That's right.
But you're just a loser.
Yeah. See, that's weird.
Your face.
I mean, I do read philosophy and myth and stuff like that, but I'm not scholarly about it.
Yeah.
I don't have huge libraries where I read just everything that on the topic and be able to quote things and tell you dates and names and stuff. I don't do that.
You're a William geek,
I guess. But did you have
some
a preference between these
call
two
you
things,
Dairy
or
Queen? I really don't.
Do you think of yourself as a particular kind of nerd or geek, or
no?
No. Yeah, I guess I don't think that about you either. I mean,
I've become something of a pretty big RPG geek, RPG nerd. I'm becoming a little bit of a comedy nerd. I like my sci-fi and fantasy a lot. I like my video games a lot. But I know people who are bigger into all those things than I am. So it's hard to say. I definitely consider myself both a geek and a nerd.
Well, I'm sure I'm considered by most people I know to be both of those things.
And a Nazi.
No, not a Nazi, because of my melted face, remember?
I suppose. All right, Melty Face, we are way over.
Well, I want to thank Azure Talon and Kia B and Dave of Id for your submissions.
Well, we want to thank two of you.
And I suppose if people wanted to comment about what we talked about, they could do that.
Go to the blog. Make some comments. Don't spoil Castle or Once Upon a Time for me. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. And go like us on Facebook. The Hat's been speaking some. You should check that stuff out.
Which I still think is weird.
I know.
That's okay.
Follow me on Twitter. My Twitter's getting very active right now.
Oh, okay, good.
I think I've hit some sort of critical mass. I'm actually, like, talking with people. More people are talking to me, retweeting me, following me, stuff like that. It's kind of cool.
Good.
Follow me on Twitter, @notquitetony. And listen next week. Next week, we're not going to be here, because I'm not going to be here. Going on a trip with the producer. But we will have an episode, like we always do, assuming William can get it out there. We'll have to scour the many alternate dimensions and see what we can find.
Yeah, it depends on whether I can talk our alternate reality selves into, you know, usually they just interrupt whatever we're doing and broadcast without us, but this time we actually want them to do it in our stead, and so I probably will need to send them some kind of tribute, like the Kraft dinner, probably. I don't know if they have it over there. Or maybe it's called Kraft dinner over there.
Kraft dinner.
And maybe it's rotini and cheese, not macaroni and cheese. I mean, it's
called Kraft dinner. All right, so do tune in next week, but we won't actually see you until the week after that.
But hopefully our alternate universe selves will.
Yes.
We'll see.
So, good night. Look away. Look away.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.